In conscience, you cannot side our agreement. You're the one who shot me.
Mr. the Beef has a point, Marshal. It is an unfair leg up in any competition to shoot your opposite number.
Damn it, I do not accept it as a given that I did shoot the Beef.
There are plenty of guns going off.
I heard the rifle, and I felt the ball. You missed your shot, Cogburn.
Missed my shot?
You are more handicapped without the eye than I without the arm.
I can hit a gnat's eye at 90 yards. That counterman is running them cheap shells on me again.
I thought you were going to say the sun was in your eyes. That is to say, your eye...
So hi and welcome to the Unnameable Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas. And if you didn't know, which you probably don't, because I'm pretty sure Andrew just deleted that last, you know, whatever the hell
it is.
This
deja vu feeling.
Yeah, it does seem familiar. But if you noticed, fuck it.
Yeah.
Andrew, what did you watch this week?
No more bullshit this time.
No more.
Okay. This week, I'll make it short. I only really watched one film to talk about, and that is The Greatest Movie Ever Sold, the new documentary by Morgan Spurlock about advertising and product placement. And, I mean...
Is it better than Planet of the Apes?
No.
Have you seen that movie?
Can I talk about this movie? No.
Alright.
Did he just tell himself no, he can't talk about the movie? I think he did. Does that mean it's my turn? Because you only saw one, right?
I've only had half a beer.
I'm supposed to sound like
he's doing the podcast himself. Right? He's playing all the roles in the podcast.
Alright, no, we're still
practicing for when we're not here.
I think he is. I mean,
we'll never be invited on again the second he leaves.
You know what? That's okay, because listen, I'm keeping the equipment, so me and you can just talk about tech all
day. I guess, yeah. The Unnamed Movie Tech Podcast.
Yeah, so this movie, the documentary, it's really good. But at the same time, it's kind of obvious in its conclusions that it comes to. It does the same thing that he did with his last documentary, Super Size Me, in which, since the documentary is about product placement, but he goes about finding all this information through making a film funded by product placement, it does the same thing as Super Size Me by making him the test subject. And we get to watch him be poked and prodded by all of these ad agencies, which he's trying to make, and companies trying to make them all happy by giving
Palm
them.
Palm Wonderful.
Palm Wonderful is the leading sponsor.
The greatest movie ever sold.
Yes, but I refuse to call it.
No, the name of the movie is Palm Wonderful. Greatest movie ever
sold. So hold on, I just want to confirm a few facts. This is a Morgan Spurlock film, yes?
Yes.
It's just like the last one, yes?
Pretty much.
What's the problem? I like the last one. Actually, I really like the last one.
I agree with you.
It's
kind
of one-sided.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I'm not talking about any... Well, it's difficult to argue the fact that McDonald's makes you fat if you eat too much of it. Mm. But you're right, it is one-sided. But I was entertained by that one side. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
And that is the thing about the movie that holds it down, the one-sidedness. Because we all know our conclusions on product placement and advertising.
I love it. I love ads.
I think what was the funniest, most weirdest part was there's a little section in the film where he's actually interviewing directors about what they think about product placement. And you'll have people in there like Peter Berg and Brett Ratner, whose their response is, in a movie, you have this story, and eventually someone is going to jump into a car. Who cares whether the car is placed and paid for by BMW or whatever, as opposed to it just being a random one, right?
I care, because the sexier the car, the more investment I have in the movie.
And that's definitely one way to look at product placement. And then you see people like Tarantino is in there, and he talks about it more from a viewer's perspective, because he's like, in my movies, people generally don't want to product place.
Except
because
when he talks about Superman for half a movie. He might not be getting paid, but I'm annoyed it's taking me out of the movie. Grown men don't care about Superman.
Otherwise, there are a few other, like, facts about, not necessarily advertising, but how people view advertising. Like, I think he went to Sao Paulo in Brazil, and apparently down there they banned all outdoor advertising, and I didn't know that, and I just thought it was really cool when he started to go around and you saw just blank walls, and then he talked to shop owners about how they get the word out. And the fact that someone outside of America, outside of consumerism galore, found out a different way of life and it turned out to be better.
don't agree with what?
That it was better? Well, according to the people who lived there, they enjoyed their life a lot more now that the ads were gone.
Why is it not better?
Alright, what do you like about ads?
No, I'm not saying that. I dare you to prove you must back this up. Why was it better? Just because you're like, and they found it better. I must be like, yeah, you're right.
You're using some kind of socioeconomic measure to do better.
He literally went in the movie. He went around and interviewed not shop owners but people, just random people on the street, and asked them like how did it change for them when it went. And most of them had really positive things to say about how their life functioned. But I mean, it definitely isn't a scientific answer to your question. So yes, not everyone is going to have that response, but it's just interesting that someone thought that way. And
no, I guess I'd say two things to that. A, I don't think my life would be better or worse if I went outside and there were no ads. And B,
I'm going to prove that it is. Now guys, people who don't live in Jamaica, you won't get this ad, and that's for your betterment. Look daddy, the sun is shining. Oh, sunshine auto parts. Your life, my life would be better if we had never heard of that.
You have to remember, first of all, that's the first time I've ever heard that ad.
Right, but I have heard that ad, and my life would have been better not hearing that ad.
But that's
and you just
no,
heard
no, no,
that ad,
that's
and your life
it.
Is no worse.
But that's hearing it. I'm pretty sure that they still have radio who still pays or gets paid by
probably,
advertising.
Right? Probably.
So,
it's
so
just
what
the outdoor.
About is
no,
like
but
billboards.
No, but every time I see a sign for Sunshine Auto Parts, my mind then goes back to the worst ad ever, and I am emotionally and physically hurt by seeing these ads.
I mean, the rest of the week I just spent rewatching stuff. I mean, it was mostly good stuff, but yeah, we already know those movies are great. So
yeah, but tell maybe there's listeners who don't.
Movies that I watched this week, I revisited Brazil. Actually, I think that movie is fantastic, but at the same time, I think it's a really hard movie to watch at times. Yeah. I love the idea, the whole concept behind it, but you have to work really hard to get through the Gilliam madness that is pasted over it.
How many times did I watch that movie? He's like, what is this?
But you're a good brother, and so you forced him.
This is horrible.
You forced him to watch it.
I also rewatched Doctor Strangelove, which is fantastic. It's pretty much one of the funniest movies ever. Blazing Saddles, which is the funniest movie ever. I also rewatched Man on Wire yesterday, and that movie is probably better than I remember it. When we reviewed it on the podcast a while back, I had rewatched it then, and it had gone up a notch for me then. So now I feel like, let me just watch it 10 more times, and then it'll just be infinitely better eventually. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything else I was talking about.
10 times more better.
I don't know. So Damien, what have you been watching?
Douglas's turn. No demons. No, the... Well... Okay, so let's start with the monkey in the room. I watched Rise of the
Planet. The monkey in the room? The really?
Of the corn, of the monkeys, of the apes.
Of the ascension.
the prequel to Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind the movie. I thought it was pretty decent. I thought the end was a little bit weak. But other than...
Reversal.
What?
The Nesbitt dies to do that.
So yeah, the end was a little bit weak. With that said, it was kind of difficult not to have it end any other way. But I thought it was okay. Not a bad movie. Especially coming from where I thought it would have been.
Right, we thought it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
And Andrew then saw it and said it was one of the best movies of the year. And you... Categorically, do not. You cannot agree with him. Anyway,
of course not. No, like, it was an alright movie.
Exactly. Which is what I've tried to get across to this young man, but he refuses.
I refuse. I flat out refuse.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing you can say to him.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
To diminish his wrongness.
Anyway,
isn't it fun?
On to the next one.
Not all the time.
I also watched another movie this week, and that movie goes by the name of Get a Life.
Hold on, Damon, have you watched this movie?
Crazy. Well, I have to admit that I did not have to pay to see this movie.
I didn't have to pay either when I watched it.
Yes, but your time is valuable.
No.
How much do you get paid at all?
This movie, as I've said before, plays...
Enough to make sure I never watch that movie for free.
This movie plays just like a Lifetime movie of the week with pacing and script issues. The script, I'm sorry, was pretty horrendous.
No, but Andrew says he saw the idea of the script was good.
The truth of the thing is that the overarching story of the movie was a Lifetime movie story.
Yeah.
In that respect, that probably makes it one of the best Jamaican movies to come out in the last 10 years. Just because it had a story that was somehow connected by scenes that somehow connected to each other, right? I've seen quite a few Jamaican movies, and I love them.
Where?
Most of them are bad.
So, where do you watch these movies?
I don't know why I do.
No, but where? I've never seen any.
So, okay, question. Because you would be able to answer this.
I've seen Belly's. Belly considered Jamaican movie.
I saw that when I came up to Home of Guinness.
Actually, people will put that on a list of Jamaican films.
I love that movie.
And do you like how in Get a Life they stole that killing scene?
Beg a dollar?
Yeah.
They have
in Get a Life.
Yeah,
I remember when I watched that movie, I wanted to burst out into the laughter, but the theater was so stagnant because of how I got to see it that I was like, I probably shouldn't.
You cannot say good things about this movie if it's cribbing things from Belly. You cannot.
Question: is it better or worse than Better Must Come, the last year's film that people were all raving about?
Okay. I'll answer that question.
Because I didn't see that movie.
You didn't see Better Must Come?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. If I say a movie is the best Jamaican movie to come out in 10 years, I think a movie that came out this year or early last year is probably worse
part
than that
of the
movie.
10 years.
But to answer your question straight, yes, Andrew, this is infinitely better than Better Must Come. Infinitely. Better Must Come was disgustingly bad. Okay?
Wow.
Did the acting step up?
Did you pay to see Better Must Come?
Yes, he did. Did the acting step up from Better Must Come to Get a Life?
Can we stop talking about this now? I don't care that we're Jimmy. You.
Everything stepped up.
Alright. So it's terrible.
Or everything did not step down as badly. No, this movie... It's not
aggressively bad, it's just bad. All right?
Shot with the red camera and looks nice.
No, you see, the thing is, the camera is nice, but the acting is not that great. The script is really not good. The story behind the script, there's something there. There's like a TV movie waiting to happen in this film. But it just, it didn't pull it off that well, because I guess we just don't have the acting talent, and we don't have...
Are you being nice to this movie because your company paid for it?
Talk about that.
Right, so what else have you been watching? Let's move on.
What else have I been watching? I watched Kenshin. I watched lots of Kenshin.
How's Kenshin going?
Kenshin's going great.
Have you reached Shishio yet?
Of course.
Yes.
That is why it's great.
Of course. Shishio is, you know, all awesome-like and has them fighting all sorts of people. And they are now in the labyrinth of the maze of the large house which Shishio owns that they are fighting against Shishio's minions. And they just beat up, or well, not beat up, but yes, he just beat up Aoshi.
Aoshi.
That's
it?
Yeah, that's it.
So you've seen this week, you've seen one horrendous movie.
I didn't call it horrendous, it was...
Douglas.
There's a spark in there somewhere.
Douglas, if this movie came on television... Alright.
If this movie came on television,
would you sit and watch it?
But it doesn't.
Douglas, you did not answer my question.
It doesn't come with the caveat of I expect
Douglas
it to be rancidly horrid first,
Douglas
and then
Robinson.
Realize that it's not disgusting.
I need you to answer my questions directly, please.
And on that note, Damien, what have you been watching?
I saw Water for Elephants.
I saw the devil. You saw Water for Elephants?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Christoph Waltz is in that movie. And so, I sat down.
You realize there's a sparkling vampire in that movie, right?
I have not seen him sparkle.
You realize there's a legally blonde girl in that movie,
yes, but
right?
I do like that legally blonde girl.
I don't mind her in some movies, too. She was in that movie.
She was even good.
I like Mark Ruffalo.
She was even good in that movie where she was legally blonde.
Which movie is this?
The first one, Legally Blonde.
I'd like to veto any comments, because when I saw that movie, I wouldn't have liked any movie all like
right.
that.
Right. So in Water for Elephants, sparkling vampire dude, his parents die pretty early in the movie, and instead of him making good decisions,
I don't think
he
has any feet to stand on anymore.
Just,
right now.
I was joking for most of that. Waltz, I love and will watch him in anything. Sparkling vampire guy. I know that those movies are bad, but I've never seen any of them. Not really. I've seen up to when someone sparkled about 10 minutes in and call it a day. And Reese Witherspoon, I do like her in some movies, even though most of the movies she's come in and is known for are bad movies.
Did you like Sweet Home Alabama?
I kind of enjoyed that movie.
I thought you would. You're crazy. What's wrong with you?
Never mind. Look, Water for Elephants. Right. Sparkling vampire dude. I don't know his name. And
Robert
please
Pattinson.
Don't tell me his name. I don't care. Because he's still sparkling vampire dude.
He was in Harry Potter 4.
Right. His parents die early in the movie. And he makes terrible decisions. And ends
he
up...
He becomes a circus boy.
No, he becomes a circus vet.
A circus boy.
And the circus is run by Christoph Waltz, who, if you aren't convinced by his acting chops yet, then you're a crazy person. But he is fantastic in this movie, and he literally carries this movie from being a mediocre, borderline bad movie to being a very watchable movie.
Can I tell you, I wasn't sure about this Christoph Waltz guy, but he proved himself to me in, it wasn't a movie, it was a whole, I don't want to call it a biopic, but it was something about himself. where he, what was he doing? He was talking about chickens and humping balloons, and it was a real in-depth look at the man behind the mask. And
I thought we were going to talk about Disco Santa Claus for sure.
He is fantastic, and every time he's on screen, you immediately enjoy the movie more. Which is good because he's on screen for about 50% of this movie. Sparkling Vampire Dude and Reese Witherspoon, the chemistry between them is okay-ish, I guess. And the overall story is pretty entertaining, but Christoph elevates his movie from the doldrums
so
of media.
So, is actually more than a minor character?
Yeah, no, he's a major character. Wow. He essentially carries this
movie
along.
From the looks of it, he's supposed to be the quote-unquote villain of the movie.
Yes, but he spends a whole lot of time on
it. It's clear they know really how to back this movie, because I barely knew he was in this movie. I knew he was, right? But if you watch the trailers, you're like, oh, it's vampire, Reese Witherspoon,
and it's a
people.
Love story. Yeah. And that is true to an extent, but how he runs this circus is the major issue of this movie, and he is central to that issue. And it's
He's Witherspoon's husband, right?
Yes, it's very good. And
I guess I'll watch it.
You guys should watch it. You won't be disappointed. Even if you hate Sparkling Vampire Dude, it won't matter. He acts well enough.
Hey, did you watch that movie? I think it came out last year with Sparkling Vampire Dude. Remember Me?
No, my sister watched it when he was mopey and found some girl.
I haven't seen it, but I'm just curious if it's anywhere near good since you're talking about Water for Elephants.
Christoph Waltz was in that one.
So Chris Cooper is in
I Don't Care.
Remember Me, and I like him.
I don't care. I also saw Fast Five, which is sadly the fifth in the Furious franchise.
It's not the sixth.
And it will not be the last one.
Which
is even more sad. This is the first one that I'd consider watchable.
What?
The others are terrible, terrible movies that people should never watch.
So how much of what you're saying is Dwayne Johnson bias?
No, it's not The Rock bias, and it's not based on how terrible the others were that in comparison this one is good. This one is legitimately a good action movie. But it is stupid. It is unbelievably at times stupid.
It's the Fast Ocean's 11.
It is not the Fast Ocean's 11. In Oceans, the heist and how they construct the heist is the major.
I didn't say it was a good Ocean's 11
copy. No. It is not Ocean's 11 in any way, because the plan is terrible. And the plan that they executed was developed in about 20 seconds.
Don't you love it when they have to get the handprint and they're going like, how do we do this? There are five dudes here, and the woman just goes, I'll be back in a minute.
All right. There's things I enjoy about it.
It's bad.
I enjoy a lot of the action scenes.
I love that movie.
But I've seen better heights in episodes of Leverage. This is essentially Leverage with faster cars. The cars were not emphasized, so I don't understand why they're calling it Fast Anything.
No, didn't you see they had a random scene where they took a drag race? Just because they had to remind you that they had cars.
No, they had many random scenes where they were driving cars, but that was not the major issue of the movie. I enjoyed the whole train sequence. That was pretty good. I enjoyed them driving the safe around, which was also pretty good. There's just things in that movie that make no sense. The fact that every single person in the movie is awesome at driving when there's no explanation for that. The fact that they explain away how they get certain assets by continuously saying, I had a life before this. Which some dude brought a safe, this massive safe, and he's like, I had a life before this.
So
how did you get the safe? No. So,
you know, one of my new favorite podcasts to listen to is How Did This Movie Get Made?
Yes.
And they had an episode on Fast Five, and right. I saw the movie, and there's one
need to go.
There's one thing they bring up in that podcast, which I think is quite profound. The whole point of this movie is they're all getting together, pooling their collective resources and skills to steal what is, like, I don't remember the figure. Like, what was the figure? 100 million? 100 million. And randomly they will get any sort of equipment that you can think of. So you're like, if you have the money already, why are you working so hard to steal?
If you have access to this kind of equipment, how are you poor? It doesn't make any sense. They keep getting shit and it is ridiculous. The Rock's character is the worst FBI agent in pretty much in history. He's killed more people than any other bad guys in the entire show. And there's no justification for him murdering people. He's just running around murdering people. So it is very stupid. But it's fun. It's like a Michael Bay movie. Speaking of which, Michael Bay, I have to apologize to you. Much like a couple of weeks ago, I had to apologize to Spielberg. I now have to apologize to Michael Bay. Michael Bay has given me a lot of good movies. And I have taken out my hatred of the Transformers movies on him. But it's not his fault. Someone wrote those scripts and he's not one of those someone. He makes pretty things explode on screen. And that is his job. He cannot be held accountable for shitty writing. I rewatched Bad Boys 1 and 2 and I love those movies. I love them.
Bad Boys 2 is
horrible. Look,
Bad Boys 2 is shit.
If you guys think Bad Boys 1 is better than 2, you need to sit down and reevaluate what you like. It is not better. In no way, shape, or form. They made the second movie the first movie and they just changed the action scenes. There's nothing better about it. Except for those action scenes. The second one has some of the best action scenes I've ever seen. They are glorious to look at. And I thank Michael Bay forever. And now I'm going to actually watch the third Transformers because I owe him that much. Right? It was to be bad.
Hold on. You owe him that much. You've already suffered through Pearl Harbor, Transformers 1 and 2.
But there's Armageddon.
Right. But he gave me Armageddon.
Awesome.
He gave me Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Awesome, right? Horrible.
Bad Boys 2. I don't know if people remember that highway scene properly.
So far, you've talked about three movies. How many movies has this man made over his career?
The highway scene.
I'm pretty sure
he's
had a very long career.
The highway scene alone in Bad Boys 2.
I think he directed Falling Down. That's how long far back he
gives
did.
Him enough clout with
Didn't
me.
Did he direct Falling Down?
No.
Or no, sorry.
Pretty much
wrong. Isn't that
Schumacher? Schumacher.
I apologize.
I love those movies. They're so good.
But no, he's been around for a while though. He made The Island. That was a really good
That was
movie.
Terrible.
So
I'd just like to let you know, on a side note, since I've just done his IMDb page, his first credit as a director is the Playboy Video Centerfold for Kerry Kendall in 1990.
Good man. Good man.
Knows where to start from.
Guys, at the end of Bad Boy 1, he blows up a hangar, and the explosion is superb. Right? But that was only the beginning.
Can I just take a moment?
Was going to blow.
Can I just take a moment to think about how stupid that title is, Bad Boys?
Bad Boys. What you gonna do?
In the second movie, he calls
The island is on his shit list.
Yeah, the island is... Look, he's made terrible movies. I'm not going to deny him that. But he gave me one of the best scenes in movie history. That highway scene is spectacular. Tears came out of my eyes. I was so happy watching that highway scene again. It's beautiful. And I thank him. Thank you, Michael B.
The Rock is better.
You're wrong. It is a better movie, but I like Bad Boys better.
I love The Rock, however.
Alright, never mind us, we're moving on. So my Blu-ray of Lion King finally came.
Oh.
And I was giddy. I did a little jig.
I want that movie.
Did you do the Circle of Life dance?
No.
How come we never turned her?
Probably.
What a wonderful phrase.
No, guys.
Actually, no, it's the other dance he should do when he's trying to divert them with the pig at the end.
You're stupid. Oh, guys, I'm going to show you just how ridiculous the good this movie is. In that case the two people who don't realize, Jeremy Irons sang in this movie. You understand what is happening, right? Jeremy Irons doesn't sing for anything. He has never done that again. Right? He sang in a goddamn children's cartoon.
So hold on,
let me get it straight.
Damon, you liked a musical.
If Lion King is a musical, then yes, I would gladly accept
you
that.
You love a musical.
Sadly, it is not a musical.
It is a musical.
Despite Elton John crushing it in this movie, there is so much talent.
Wait.
Whoopi Goldberg is in this movie.
Whoopi Goldberg plays a hyena.
First of all,
James
Earl
Jones.
First of all, I don't think we can consider Whoopi Goldberg talent.
No, in 1994 we could. We can't consider her that now because she no longer falls into that circle. In 1994 she was. Those hyenas were funny.
Anyway, second of all, I do believe that Damien just made the argument that it is not a musical because it has talent. I just want to
no,
make sure
that
we're clear
actually not
on,
what I said.
On what Damien just said.
No, I was
right,
saying it wasn't. I said it wasn't a
musical. Because what?
I didn't say because anything. I said it's not a musical, and then went on to say this movie has so much talent. It is. You cannot watch that movie and not have a smile on your face. It is impossible. Unless, of course, you're a small child and you decide to cry halfway through the movie and have me throw you out of my room.
Sounds like you had a problem.
Which is what had to happen.
When did the child cry? When in the movie? What was happening?
I don't remember. I just remember throwing her out.
Oh, okay.
She was still crying when she was thrown out, but that was my issue. How is it possible that they went from Lion King to shitty movies? What happened?
I heard
did they shoot
Frozen
up? Yes, but
John Lasseter left to go and do
like
Pixar.
19 years
yeah,
to get Tangled was
like...
good, Princess and the Frog was good, but it the space between Lion King and it's oh my god. It
does Disney
so
have
good.
Anything coming out this year?
Brave.
No, that's
Pixar.
That's
is
Pixar.
Pixar is Disney.
You don't know this. What's
Pixar
wrong
and Disney is a separation.
No. No, it's a giant Disney. It says Disney's Brave.
Anything else?
The last movie that I saw that I really shouldn't have watched this movie. And I kind of knew that going in, but I still decided to watch said a terrible movie. I watched No Strings Attached.
The people in that are dead.
Have you watched Friends with
what?
Benefits, by the way?
No, which one is the
Natalie Portman
the
is
Natalie Portman
is
one.
No Strings Attached.
Right, that is the one that I saw.
Mila Kunis is Friends with Benefits.
Right. I saw the Natalie Portman one. But I didn't finish watching that movie because that movie is terrible.
That movie
is
disgusting.
Someone was saying that it started out kind of good and then became terrible. They are wrong.
They were talking about Friends with Benefits because at least Friends with Benefits, you've got a full on hour of kind of funny.
Right. But so maybe I was mixing it up in my head and thought that someone had said that. But no,
That movie, that Natalie Portman movie, it is bad. It is bad in the very bad kind of way. No one should watch that. No. Ever. No. Ever. I'm disappointed in Natalie Portman. So much so that I was thinking about getting Your Highness, and after seeing half of that, I just went, no, I'm not going to.
She has two strikes against herself this year. No strings attached on Your
Last
Highness.
Movie, Lars and the Real Girl.
You know, up to now, I don't watch that movie.
In HD. It's spectacular. That movie is terrific.
I think I've seen like the first half of.
And that is how you do in the movies. You pick one thing to be quirky with, and you stick to that.
As opposed to Submarine.
Exactly, where you keep on trying and grasping that quirk, even when it is beyond you. Right? Lars is terrific. They find one ridiculous premise, and they continue from that point. And it gets extra points for putting a moderately pretty person in a movie, right, as the main sexual interest. Not some hot chick that they made ugly.
Remind me, who is this?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
This girl is a alright looking girl that they made look alright. Not Natalie Portman in Hesha. That doesn't work. Right. Everyone should see this movie. This movie is one of the few indie movies that I wouldn't have any problems recommending to anybody. Everyone can watch this. It's not Emily Mortimer, you lunatic.
I'm looking at IMDb page. Say what you're saying.
You think that I consider Emily Mortimer that person? Are you a crazy person? You lunatic. Everyone should watch Lars. And it's in HD now, so you can actually watch it properly.
As opposed to
certain movies.
As opposed to scratching out your eyeballs.
In nighttime.
In nighttime. As they render it using MS Paint.
This week in trailers, the first trailer I wanted to talk about is The Woman in Black, the new film starring Daniel Radcliffe, and no one else was in the trailer, so I won't bother to read their names.
They were little girls. They were creepy. I've never seen that.
During afternoon tea, there's a shift in the air, a bone-trembling chill that tells you she's there. There are those who believe the whole town is cursed, but the house in the marsh is by far the worst. What she wants is unknown, but she always comes back. The specter of darkness.
Damien, what do you think of this trailer?
Hey guys, remember when we stopped talking about horror movies? That's what I think about this trailer. It looks like another horror movie. Little children are being creepy. Well, little girls are being creepy. And this movie looks generic. As generic as a horror movie can look. There's a house, and there's little girls, and There's scary sounding music, and I can already see jump scares. No, I'll not be watching this. But if you enjoy horror movies, because you're sick in the head, then you'll probably enjoy this.
Douglas.
So the name of this movie again is in Harry Potter and the Tale of the Chamber of the Scary
Scary
Black Woman. This actually I kind of like this trailer, not because I think I'm going to like this movie, because I do not. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like this movie. I've never actually been convinced that Harry Potter was anything other than a lucky child that was the right age at the right time. I don't think he has much acting ability in him.
My goodness.
And by much, I mean any. But
tell us what you really.
That boy is going to have to work really hard to shrug off that Harry Potter persona.
He's a gazillionaire. I don't think he cares.
But I'll give him the chance. However, I don't know if I'll give him the chance in this movie. But with that aside, I think this trailer was really decent. I think it was really pretty. It had a lot of images that were a little bit creepy, that clearly, as Damien is saying, you know, promises all of these jump scares and wonderful things that horror fans love. But the truth of the matter is the trailer was adequately creepy with what I thought to be pretty imagery, which I know was really meant to be scary imagery. And I kind of like that image at the end where Harry Potter is at the window and you see the silhouette come up behind him, and slowly you see the features kind of get more and more defined before they cut to black. It was a pretty trailer.
I disagree with everything Douglas said.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. This trailer is a waste of my time. It's a waste of my efforts. It's a waste of my eyes. Like, I wanted
is
to close them.
Is it a waste of your efforts because you know you won't like the movie? Or is it a waste of your efforts for some other reason?
I think...
because I know I won't like this movie either. So.
You see, here lies the thing. When I see it, I can see, like Damien said, how all of these little bits that they're putting in front of me fit into the stereotypical horror film, which I don't like. I mean, you see lots of close-ups of dolls and stuff in the house, and you're like, oh, so they're just going to make the house look feel really creepy, and all of the boards creak at night, and it's going to scare him, and jumping out of bed, and then eventually towards the end you'll get that scene which you're talking about, where he goes to the window, and then you see the lady in black, the woman in black, come up behind him, and you're like, oh, it's real! No, this movie's going to be bad. This trailer is pretty average. And because of that and the genre, I don't want to watch this at all.
Wait, sorry. He's complaining about his trailer when he wanted us to watch something else. I don't understand that.
So, the next trailer I want to talk about is that very trailer.
Fuck you.
Ghost Rider.
We're not talking about this trailer.
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. The teaser came out this week, directed by Neville Dean Taylor, starring a Nicolas Cage and Idris Elba.
This thing, there's no conscience, just hunger. The rider's going to come out. He does, he'll destroy whoever's got it coming.
And I'd like to start with Douglas, because he seems very set in his ways against this Nick Cage fellow. Douglas, what did you think?
You don't like Nick Cage, Douglas?
Douglas, what are you going on about? If you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all. Is that what's going on? No, you're starting to be nice to movies. Okay, Douglas doesn't want to talk.
Wi-Fi is garbage.
I've been telling Douglas that forever.
Keeps not working.
Damien, what did you think of this trailer?
Alright. So, you remember that last Ghost Rider movie? The critically acclaimed one?
I try not to.
Yeah. Well, they're making another one. And it's from the visionaries that gave us Crank 2.
And Gamer. I don't know what else they did.
No, Crank is terrible. Crank 2 is horrendous. But they're fun movies if your IQ is somewhere between 1 and 2.
I like Crank 2.
Alright, so if you're stupid or Douglas, you would enjoy Crank.
Are you saying Douglas isn't stupid?
This, all right, so there's a circle. Let me paint you a Venn, word picture. This is the Venn diagram. There's people, that's the big box. Then there's stupid people, which is a giant circle. Douglas is somewhere inside that circle.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
Now,
where am I in this circle?
You don't want to know. They proved that they were terrible at making movies by making Gamer, which no one liked, not even as a joke. And now they're coming back to revitalize Ghost Rider, let's say, with their specific brand of stupid. It looks like how a Ghost Rider movie was going to look. I remember the first trailer for the first Ghost Rider. They had him ride up the side of a building with glass shattering behind him, and it looked awesome. This time it looks like they watched a lot of Mortal Kombat, or played a lot of Mortal, because he's doing all the moves from Scorpion. And it looks okay, I guess. Some of it, the CG looks blatant and overused, which was always going to happen. It looks like another Ghost Rider movie. Now, if you take bad directors and give them a bad property, you can hope that a negative times a negative equals a positive. What you don't want is to add, if it is not times but it is merely addition, if you just add more negative to negative, it's going to just get worse. So let's hope, by some miracle, it ends up in Airborne territory. Right, Douglas? No? We have no hope? Neville Dean Taylor, not your... You said you love Crank. Shouldn't you be excited?
Look, no one is disputing how hard Nick Cage and or...
I love Nick Cage.
I
love him. He's so bad.
The Ghost Rider film was, right? I'm not disputing that at all. However, I feel that Neville Dean Taylor, while not visionaries...
No, they are visionaries. They said so themselves.
Their style might
have
just...
A question. And I'm breaking my silence for one. Right. I promised myself I wouldn't talk about this trailer, which is disgusting. But I'd like to ask you a question. Are you talking about two different people?
Yes.
So then, why is their name Neville Dean Taylor?
Because that's how they paired
themselves together.
But that's one name.
Yes.
That's one person's name.
Yes.
No.
It's their last names. It's their last names. It's Mark Neville Dean, and I can't remember what the other guy's first name
his
is.
His name is Taylor. So they're Neville Dean Taylor, like law firms. They're visionaries. Didn't I tell you that they're visionaries?
I can't take it anymore.
Guys, the screen just turned off like a tube TV. It's still scanning for Wi-Fi.
I don't know. I think Neville Dean Taylor might just...
I know where this sentence is going.
It's already funny. This trailer just looks amazing. The action looks
weird.
Fun. The graphics look brilliant. And there's this one moment where you see, I don't think it's Elba, it's like some random dude getting shot off a bike and he flies off and there's this slow motion and he shoots his car and it just looks really cool. And
alright, so slow motion. Check.
This is ridiculous because none of you are saying what needs to be. What is wrong with you? I expected more.
Negative times are negative.
I expected more from you.
They are visionaries.
No, listen. These graphics are average at best.
What?
Yes, I said it.
Didn't you see the fire?
I did.
Oh.
And it was average at best.
Hey, yes, but did you see Crank? Did you see the graphics in Crank? They were terrible.
I did see Crank and I didn't like Crank.
Did you see Crank 2?
Crank 2 and I loved
it. Did you see the graphics in Crank 2?
The question is...
They're terrible.
Do you think they can bring Crank 2 into Ghost Rider 2 and make you love it?
Nick Cage in this movie?
Hey,
Jason Statham versus Nick Cage, which one is worse as an actor? Nick Cage versus Jason Statham, which one is worse?
Right now?
Yes.
Do I need to say it?
Okay.
Guys,
look out for our review of Ghost Rider 2 when that movie comes out.
Look, Douglas can hate all he wants, right? Drink his cup of hate read. But the truth of the matter is this movie is terrible.
It's going to be horrible. It's going to be awful.
The question is
The question is, will I love Idris Elba in this movie?
I can't believe he's in this. He has to pay bills.
Right? Luther doesn't pay that much.
Luther's not paying all the bills. Alice needs money.
Why? Alright, so the last trailer I want to talk about is... last trailer I want to talk about is the trailer for Roman Polanski's new film, Carnage, which stars Jodie Foster, Kate Winslet, John C. Reilly, and Christoph Waltz.
The victim and the criminal are not the same.
I am glad our son kicked the shit out of your son, and I wipe my ass with your human rights.
Wow.
I believe in the god of carnage, the god whose rule has been unchallenged since time immemorial.
I got no patience for this touchy-feely bullshit. I'm a short-tempered son of a bitch!
Alan, do something!
Alan, do something!
Oh, shut your mouth!
Give a shit, Nancy, what are you?
There.
Shit!
Oh my god.
Where to go?
This is what I think, Michael.
I think I'm gonna vomit again.
Freaking nightmare.
You better watch it. He's got me right on the edge.
What the hell are we doing here?
I hope you're kidding.
Okay, so I'd like to start talking about
his last movie was The Ghost Writer, so I'm not interested.
By the way, that is a fair point.
You know, I still haven't watched that movie.
That movie was bad.
I'm not interested. And I've been meaning to watch Repulsion forever. I just haven't seen it yet.
I like his old... The closer it gets to present, the worse his movies
seem to become. My problem is that I've actually never watched a Polanski film other than The Ghost Rider.
What's wrong with you?
I'm sure you have. Haven't you seen Rosemary's Baby?
No.
What? The Pianist?
No.
Dog, what? No, seriously?
I'm serious.
What is... No.
There must be a Polanski film that you've seen.
I haven't seen any of the famous ones.
Chinatown?
No, I have not.
What are these better movies that you keep watching? Please tell me.
So, okay, the next movie we're reviewing is Chinatown.
That's even a joke. Yo, we're watching some Polanski.
This cannot be allowed to continue.
So,
you saw The Ninth Gate.
I saw it a long time ago, and I remember thinking it was great, but ending was crap. But yes, you're right. I saw that on my birthday when I was in like sixth form.
It came out in 99. I don't know where you were then.
I was in like lower six. Right.
It was already reviewing movies at that time. Movies like a 7 or that.
But yeah, really? You haven't seen anything other than those two?
I guess not.
Wow. I know I haven't seen much of his movies. As I said, I want to watch Repulsion, but I keep putting it off. But wow.
Anyway, I have a couple of things to say about this trailer. First, this was a really bad trailer. Mm-hmm. Just to put it out there. Mm-hmm. Right? Second, this is the perfect trailer for me.
Yep.
Because it may have told me everything I need to know about this movie, I'm confused by the trailer, right? So if you are a person who just looks at like the trailer for what it is, and you just accept that that's what this movie is going to be, then sure. But I, on the other hand, look at this trailer and get confused. Because I look at this trailer and I say to myself, there is no way that this movie could just be these four people talking about the children getting drunk and getting angry at each other. And maybe that's what it is, but it don't make sense to me. And that confusion, that not knowing what's going to happen in the movie, or hoping that that's not what is only going to happen in the movie, and seeing four people, most of which I really like.
Hold on. Who of these four people do you not like?
No, I'm not saying I don't like her, but I've never really thought extremely high thoughts.
I'm guessing it's not... Oh.
Jodie Foster, I mean, I guess a part of that is that I haven't watched very many of her movies. I mean, I've seen the ones that she's, one of the few that she's supposed to be like all great for, which is her first movie, Taxi Driver, which we will not talk about because people will
what
get
upset.
What
about Flight Plan?
I saw Flight
What about Plan. Contact?
That was not great. I saw Contact.
What
that
about that
Safe great.
Room movie? Whatever it name.
Anyway, I've seen a lot of, a few of Jodie Foster's movies. Most of them haven't impressed me. Not to say that she's not good.
You've already said that.
Because at the same time, I have seen something where she surprised me. And that was a long...
Boogie Nights.
No. She's not.
I know.
A very long engagement where she, it's a full-on French film. She speaks French fluently. And you don't know that, or at least me as an English speaker cannot tell the difference. And she did it. She was great in that movie. So I'm not saying that she's devoid of talent. I'm sure she is. the fact that she directed a movie that I watched last week and really enjoyed probably says
Leave It to Beaver.
Yes, that exact one. It probably says great things about her, but just that I haven't ever put her up on this pedestal. But anyway, this movie, all it does to me is tell me it has people that I like. It doesn't tell me anything really about the movie, makes me wonder what the movie is about, and shows me that, you know, it looks a little bit pretty. Some of the camera shots are nice, and that's all I really need to know.
So it solidifies the fact that you are a snob.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. I'm cool with it.
So that's, I'm in that same boat, sadly. The trailer is terrible, but the actors have me interested, and the director has me interested. And once again, we keep saying this more and more, but that's pretty much all we need now, isn't it? It's sad when it's gotten to this point, where even when they look bad, we're still willing to push past that.
Director love.
Based on, no, not even director love, based on actors as well, because Douglas doesn't love Polanski.
Well, no. You see, the difference, though, is
he
that...
He respects him as a director.
Yeah, I really don't even have a reason to respect him. But at the same time, I understand that most people do and that he has
and that's
this goodwill. And yeah. I should be watching, like, movies that you're talking about, like Chinatown.
I think you can't come on next week unless you've seen Chinatown. Like, at least Chinatown, because...
Yeah, this is... Oh,
that is the Polanski film you have to see. As far as I'm concerned. But then again, I haven't seen many, as I said. Yeah, you were talking about actor
no, that's,
love.
That's pretty much. I'm going to watch this, but it's for all the wrong reasons.
The truth of the matter is that, like, putting aside, as you guys have already said numerous times, director and actor love, I just like this kind of a film where we have put four people in a room together, and the entire purpose is to put them, is to make them angry at each other and pull out each other's hair over the span of the runtime.
That's what I don't understand, because that never works. You know why? When I get into a situation I don't want to be in, I leave. Right, which is why I don't understand how this movie works. Because once you're like, this is annoying, I'll be like, okay, I have another hotel room. Or I live in
the breakfast
place.
Club.
No, that's different. Those are children that don't have any...
they're in detention.
Yeah, they're in detention. They don't have any say in the matter. What are you telling me? Are you telling me that Roman Polanski actually locked them in the hotel room and explains this to you by saying, listen, this movie makes no sense. Now I'm about to take a tire out of a truck.
I don't know what reason he's going to precede this movie with why they can't leave the room. But
they're on the 15th floor and everybody outside is zombies.
12 Angry Men, that's another movie where they're locked in a room together.
It's illegal for them to go anywhere else.
But my point is, I'm sure when the movie begins, it'll proceed with a reason as to why they don't leave the room for the next 90 minutes or however long this movie is. And it'll make sense. And then you're just going to enjoy the acting and the brilliant
talent that is in this movie.
Well, you're hoping that it makes sense.
I mean, another movie which I'm sure I can quote, but I haven't seen it. I've only seen via TV shows that reference it, which is My Dinner with Andre, which I'm sure does the same kind of thing, where they're locked in one location and you just enjoy it.
They're two friends who are not really friends.
They're not
friends. But they still want to catch up. And yes, it may be awkward, but that's what two friends who want to catch up do. They be awkward until they're not.
If... Wait, hold on. Have you seen that movie?
No, I have not.
Okay,
that's,
because...
That's how I interpret...
Because according to how I understand that movie, they're not friends at all. They're random people who had dinner together.
No, I thought it was old friends who were...
Not according to my knowledge. I could be wrong. As I said, I haven't seen the movie. But have you seen My Dinner with Andre? No. Anyways, yeah, that's pretty much it. I totally have to see Carnage before the year is out. That movie looks fantastic.
You probably won't.
He might. Well, it's still a Caribbean country.
Yeah, I don't know how good they are with indie movies.
I hope they're worse.
Guess what they're better with? IMAX.
Yeah, but the price the price you pay is, not seeing the movies. Months at a time.
But not even that, Andrew. Exactly what's going to be in IMAX? Are you going to be watching like Flipper? Are you watching, like, Tales of the Undersea World? Where you,
and I do not plus know.
Fish. Plus, it's not like you're the only person that's going to get to enjoy the IMAX. When that night comes out, I'm be on a plane.
Red Jet will be running by then. You only have to spend like $200 for a round trip.
And where are you going? I'm going to work that night.
I'll be back.
And I'll be back on Monday.
Sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever.
Well, if it's riches you're after, there's riches aplenty. That's the truth. You mark my words.
Me's Cut Off is a highly anticipated movie that we've been waiting to see since we saw that first trailer.
I don't think you can say it that way. I think how you have to say it is, we have been highly anticipating Me's Cut Off. I don't know how many other people have.
Yeah, that's true. Right. We saw the trailer and we're falling over ourselves to see it. Then we invited some guests on who told us it is awesome. And we were even more hyped to see this movie. I know it is finally out, and we are going to talk about it. Pick this movie.
I did.
Okay.
Douglas did.
This is a new film by Kelly Reichardt. She did Wendy and Lucy, which came out a couple of years ago, which...
You haven't seen.
I still haven't watched it yet.
While... Yes, I saw it. While I believe it was one of the most boring movies to have come out that year, I do admit that it was a well-crafted film. And that Michelle Williams was fantastic in it, but at the same time, as I said, it was pretty fucking boring. Huh?
I said that's a given. Michelle Williams.
Yeah, I guess. Everything. I guess
I'm not
it's pretty
to
much
argue with him, but I do love that movie.
Because
I can't argue with anyone that says it's boring.
I haven't seen her other movies, Old Joy and River of Grass. I probably should find those movies.
Old Joy is amazing. No one has ever said a word about River of Grass.
So she's finally gone to the Old West once again with Michelle Williams. With the story of this group of individuals trying to cross Meek's cutoff. They travel out into the desert trying to get to the other end via this one fellow named Meek, and they are lost. Paul Dano is in the mix, and to tell the truth, I think I like this movie. I like I like the whole idea of it. The fact that we're pretty much watching this from the perspective of the women, because there's so many times in the film when the men are off trying to figure out what to do, and we can only hear murmurs of what's going on, because we're not, the women aren't in this conversation. They're sitting in the back, yes, just
they are women.
And it's 1845. The movie turned out to be the kind of film that you wouldn't find in your local theater chain that often, because it's not, wait, it's not meant for the masses.
Wait, hold on. A movie with Michelle Williams was not meant for the masses? I didn't think that that would happen ever.
She's been in big movies, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has been. Like Gigantic, and Wendy and Lucy, and Blue Valentine.
And Dawson's Creek, and Shutter Island, and Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain was not a...
And
it was not a movie for the masses. That was a good movie that got
Shutter
critical
Island
acclaim.
Was also not for the masses.
Yeah.
No one went to that movie. So he could have put his name on that.
The only thing that you could tell me is Scooby Dooby Doo.
Was she in Scooby Doo?
She was Velma.
Holy shit, yeah, I did not know that.
She was the one that...
I cannot like Michelle Williams ever.
She's the one that survived that.
Yeah.
No one wants to put her in movies.
Right, so Michelle Williams, really awesome. Paul Dano, really awesome. Whoever the hell it was,
wait,
who played it.
She's not in Gigantic. What's the name of that with Gael Garcia Bernal? Is that called Gigantic? Gigantic is Paul Dano, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's the one with Gael? That's what I meant to say at first.
The one with Gael, I don't know what you're talking about.
She's in a movie with Gael Garcia Bernal that I've been wanting to watch for so long.
I'll ignore you and continue. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm telling
you. I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
I'm telling you for a fact.
Well, what we're saying is we don't know what movie you're talking about.
IMDb would know.
Yes, but I can't tell which one of them has Gael in it.
There's this thing called a search engine, right?
Jesus. You know what? Never mind.
Anyway, down at the bottom there's something that says, like, acting with or something like that.
No, never.
But anyway, so what were you saying about this movie?
It's really good.
Okay.
I like whoever the dude who played Meek was, because he's a dick. And he's, like... It's obvious, like, even in the trailer, they have this line where they talk about the fact that the woman isn't angry at Meek for not knowing what the fuck he's doing. She's angry at him for saying he knew and putting him in this situation. When the movie starts out, they say that Meek told them that the travel would only take them 2 weeks, and it's been 5, and they don't know where the hell they are. They've gotten to the point where they need to find water or they will die very soon. And towards the end, that problem becomes even bigger than it already is. The person who plays Meek is pretty fantastic as this storyteller. Because there are numerous times in the movie where they pause and you get to hear Meek tell a story about... he saw a guy who took on bears or Indians over in the land or something. But otherwise, everything else was pretty enjoyable. I mean, I guess what helped was me watching it with you guys and laughing at stupid shit along the way. But I think when I watch this movie again, I'm going to pay more attention to a lot of the little things. Things about the time, and it'll just blow up into more love.
I'm going to table my full discussion of Meek's Cut Off until September, the week of September 13th. As I said when we were introing this movie, we've been dying to see this movie, and sadly we only got a DVD copy of this movie, and let's just say it doesn't look very good. Half of this movie is set in the nighttime, and there is very little light. And so you can't really see what's happening, and the movie is set up in a way where you can't really hear what's happening either. as Andrew said, it was from the perspective of the women, and the women don't get to be in the big boy conversations. So in the daytime, you can forgive it because you can see a lot of what's happening and get context that way. But in the night, it's just blurry pictures with muffled sound, and it is a little bit annoying. In my case, a lot annoying. I really want to see this movie in HD so that I can have a proper viewing experience.
But I mean,
The movie is interesting, and you can see that by the end, the story that is told is pretty good. All the acting across the board, not only me, but all the children, the casting is good. Even Paul Dano, as much as he's playing Paul Dano now in all his movies, his role was good as well. The performances, you can see the desperation as they wade through this wasteland to find some water in order to stay alive. I'd like to say that the cinematography is good, but again, the nighttime scenes, I cannot see what in God's name is going on. Honestly, I would rather talk about this movie when I can see it properly. But for right now, it seems very good. It seems interesting, and I'll watch this the second. It's not a situation where I don't think that the movie is good. I think the movie is very enjoyable. I just cannot get around the fact that half of this movie I couldn't see what was happening, and not a big fan of standard def. These guys, I mean, we were watching it together, and they think that I'm joking when I say that, you know, watching the night scenes are ridiculous. But you guys saw it.
No, I know what you're talking about, but at the same time,
horrendous. We cannot see what is going on. No, but movies are visual, right? We get so much context from what we see on the screen, and not being able to see shit is a problem. It's like if we went to Carib and it looked like that, we'd have destroyed the people at Carib. We'd have sat down here and gave Carib shit. Probably at all. I don't see why we must pretend like it's not the same situation now. The movie is interesting. The parts that we were able to watch are very watchable, but I haven't seen the whole movie. I haven't seen it properly. But I will, and I'll get back to this. If anyone gets the opportunity to see this movie in its proper resolution, you should. It is fantastic.
You do realize that when you get the Blu-ray and you get it in 1080p, they have lowered the resolution from what they filmed it in, right?
Yes.
Does that hurt you? Does that bother you?
It pains me a little. But nothing.
Okay, just curious. And on a side note, talking about Paul Dano, have any of you guys seen Cowboys and Aliens?
No.
Paul Dano, I found, is in that movie, and
I hear that when he's on screen, the movie is good, and then he disappears, and the movie
very much
into a pit.
Very much, but I just wanted to see like what you guys thought about him, because he's pretty.
Paul Dano again? Does he play?
He's pretty much asshole Paul Dano.
I've not seen that one.
He's pretty amazing as asshole Paul Dano.
Yeah, I hear that movie.
No, it's not that good.
No, I hear that the problem with that movie is all the parts are decent. It's just when they put all of them together.
If the movie was called Cowboys without Harrison Ford, it would be a good movie. But it's called Cowboys and Aliens with Harrison Ford.
I hear that the script is probably the worst thing that has been written in years, which I find hard to believe because I've seen terrible movies. But the people who are saying this are people I kind of trust. Like some of the guys over at IFC just leaned into this movie. They were not nice at all. I kind of want to see, because I want to see how bad it is, but I know that I'm to stop doing that.
While you're on that mission, let's go watch Twilight.
No.
So
Douglas. See, I tried again this week with that shitty Ashton Kutcher movie. I was convinced that Natalie Portman would allow the movie to be that bad, but
Meeks cut off. Douglas.
Douglas, why couldn't you wait? Doug, you could have given us 2 weeks. 2 weeks, Douglas.
So this movie is boring as hell.
I'm sorry, did we watch the same movie?
This movie is ridiculously boring.
Alright.
It I think that the only reason that Michelle Williams holds a gun in any scene at all, which she does, is because they had filmed the rest of the movie and they realized, shit, up to this point, I still don't have anything to use for the poster. Alright, I have to do something that looks like it has action.
We saw the trailer. There was not any action in that trailer.
Yeah, I know. No! I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something further. I'm fine with this movie being boring.
See. The old bait and switch.
Yes. This movie, as with Wendy and Lucy, I really cannot blame anybody for saying, boy, this movie, nothing happened. I couldn't watch it. There's, you know, but I really enjoyed the storytelling of this film, the slow, painful process to desperation that these people go through. As you say, a lot of the interactions are muffled, especially at the night time, when you can't quite hear exactly what's going on, which is a little bit annoying, but at the same time, it really, as you say, is kind of putting you the place where you need to be. It's this place where not only are you getting towards that desperate final moment, but you're getting there without really knowing what's happening, which fuels your desperation even more, or their desperation even more. And so this movie literally is an hour and 40 minutes of people walking. And somehow,
so it's Lord of the Rings.
Right. And somehow they managed, between the acting and the directing, to make an hour and 40 minutes of people walking an interesting and engrossing film.
And I'd just like to take what you said and let you recognize how much better it is than Jerry.
No.
No, this is better than Jerry.
No,
Douglas. Jerry.
I apologize. But I prefer Jerry to this movie.
Oh, okay. It's not a better movie, though.
I actually, you know what it is? Jerry has moments where it's genuinely funny. And that's probably what pushes it over for me, just because I like entertaining things. And so, like, a movie like this, I'll appreciate it and I love it. I won't watch it.
Were funny moments in this?
When we
crashed.
Made funny of it.
Yes.
When we made fun of it. And what? When a car crashed?
When a car crashed.
Yes, I thought that was funny only because I was expecting it to blow up. Then it didn't, and it wasn't funny anymore.
So it blew. Didn't Michael Bay do it?
But no, this movie was pretty good. I really want to watch her other movies. I mean, Wendy and Lucy, even though I haven't watched it, that's been on my to-watch list for a very long time. And now that you've told me that she has more movies, those just went on my list. So, yes, please.
I really want to watch this movie, probably. I saw the trailer before. When I was told that we were going to review this, went back and looked at the trailer. And the trailer is beautiful. and what we saw was not. It really was.
But you see, there were even moments in the film where you could see how beautiful it will look in HD. There was especially this one shot which kind of reminded me of Terrence Malick's style, particularly. where you see the Indian in the distance walking and the sun is behind him and
the silhouette of the Indian.
It just felt like a Terrence Malick shot. I don't know about Kelly Rickow as to what her future is right now, as to if she's working on anything currently, but you can tell that she's a name that when we hear, she's now going to be on the list of directors who are like, yup, we're watching that movie. When is Michelle Williams going to completely break out into something...
Scooby-Doo.
into something that everyone's going to see. And actually remember her name for.
Do we want that?
I don't know. Doesn't everyone need that?
No. I don't know about need. Greta Gerwig, what big movie has she come in?
Greenberg.
She was in No Strings Attached, which was a big movie.
True. Except it was.
And she was also in Artho, which was a big movie.
Yeah, but those are both terrible movies.
She was.
I liked Artho.
She was in The Night of the Devil. She was in The Night of the Devil.
That was not a big movie.
Oh. I like that movie though.
Yeah, but do we need people to come in big movies? Do we need that to happen? As long as she keeps making good movies. That is the more important part.
This is how I like to think of it, right? Yeah. I like to think of it like Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey, at this point in his life, has realized that he likes Broadway and likes theater. And I'm sure, even though I haven't seen any of it, that he's fantastic in his Broadway and theater. We all know from his earlier films as to how great an actor he is. However, no one can argue that for the last like 5 years or so, he's just been doing dross
Superman.
In film.
Superman.
With a couple exemptions.
Superman was more than 5 years ago.
Was
it? Wow, okay.
And
Moon.
Couple exemptions. Uh-huh. Couple exemptions. Moon. And that one didn't require
take it away from the
that man. One didn't require that much work. Right? So Kevin Spacey does these movies to then fund the rest of his life he can do all of the Broadway and shit. So Michelle Williams, I want her to find those couple movies, maybe one a year, that are big, that will then fund her to do more Blue Valentine, more Meek's Cut Off. And she can be...
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going about this the wrong way. You're supposed to, as a consumer, only be concerned
with what you consume.
Yes. With how good the movie is. How she makes her money is not your concern. Right? There's nothing you can do to affect that. There's really nothing. No matter how many times we go down to Carib and watch a movie, she's probably not seen any of that money. Alright? So what you need to concern yourself with is how good the movies are, right? Avatar making billions of dollars, depending on what is written in that contract. None of the people who acted in that movie might have seen a dollar extra from that movie. And that's the case with a lot of movies. You have to be a massive star before you can get extra money based on what the movie makes. So usually you sign a contract, they pay you how much you sign for, and that's it. So the more movies she makes, as long as they're good movies, that's all I am concerned with. Stop concerning yourself with money. Right? If she's doing small movies because she loves doing small movies and they're good movies, then you wanting her to come in massive movies that will be what do they call the testing, the when they have people watch the movies. When they have people sit down and watch a movie and they base decisions whether or not people, what they call that? Some kind of testing.
screen tests.
No, man. Alright, when marketing firms come in and they screen these movies to people in Utah, and if they don't like it, they change endings. When all of that gets involved, things happen to movies that don't really make the movies better in most cases. You know that. So why are you concerned with how much money she makes? I don't get that. As long as Michelle Williams keeps coming in good movies, that's all we should care about. Everything else is just a waste of your time.
I don't know. I'm just afraid that
she'll disappear.
No. Not that she'll disappear. That if she doesn't get to that point where, like, as I said, a Kevin Spacey, where she will do the big movies, she'll end up in this point where she'll do a lot of average movies for median, and then it'll completely nullify her opportunity to do any of these kinds of movies. Kind of like a... And first of all, I know this name isn't synonymous with acting talent. I just want to kind of prove the idea of someone who ends up in the middle and continues to stay there without wanting to reach out. Shia LaBeouf.
He's in Transformers.
I like
and he did Wall Street. Disturbia isn't good.
Disturbia is kind of fun though. I like it.
Okay. Look, alright. I only like Shia LaBeouf from Holes. That's pretty much the only movie he ever did that I respect him. Because that was a fun little movie. All the other movies that he did weren't very good.
Not even Disturbia?
It wasn't that good a movie.
Was it better than Rear Window though?
Some people may say yes.
Fucking idiot.
Anyways.
He was always... he got his break on Disney movies, right? Wasn't that what he was
doing? Yeah, he was in Disney.
When did you get the idea that he wanted to make good movies?
No, but my point is that...
He is in the biggest franchise. Shorter Transformers. Shorter... Avatar, right?
This franchise.
Transformers.
Okay, I think I went the wrong road to this argument, but whatever. I'm just gonna forget about it.
No, if you're concerned that like someone like Ryan Reynolds, where if he continues to, if he had kept making movies like Buried, right, he would have needed something like Green Lantern to help him continue to make movies like Buried. And I say, yeah, but in Hollywood, if he makes a big movie, then he might have to continue making big movies, right? If Michelle Williams comes in, say she's cast as Catwoman, they reboot Catwoman and she's Catwoman, and it is a success and everybody knows her. What happens after that? Do you think she goes back and makes another Meets Cut Off 2? No.
Yes.
She does Catwoman 2 to 20 until she's in big movies, because they can sell the movie based on her name. She starts demanding more money and then she cannot come in small movies.
Morgan Freeman is in small movies.
Morgan Freeman is in everything. He's like Sam Jackson. I can call him no one, probably get him on the
He's
podcast.
A black version of Sam Jackson, right?
Pretty much.
Right. But anyways, we were talking about Meek's Cutoff, and I think
we're talking about some blurry movie that Douglas forced me to watch ahead of time, that I didn't want to watch. The second he picked it, I went, there's no HD version. That's the first thing I wrote back, right? And he didn't change.
Yeah, so Meek's Cut Off. We're all pretty much positive on this film, so.
Yeah, but don't watch this.
When the Blu-ray comes out.
Didn't we even say a Blu-ray, a DVD option on Amazon?
Yes, we did. When the Blu-ray is released.
Can I petition them to take it off?
Next month, you guys should all watch it. I think that's pretty much
that's
the consensus. Not the DVD. The Blu-ray.
Yes.
Because the DVD, you don't see the night scenes very well. Anything else you guys want to add to this?
Scarface is coming out on Blu-ray. in Scarface. I can't wait.
You know what? I can't wait to get Blu-ray, which came out recently. Kubrick's The Killing came out on Criterion Blu-ray. I can't wait to get that.
I'm afraid to go down Criterion Road.
Well, no, you see,
it's a never ending road. No, you can't just buy one Criterion Blu-ray. Dog. The second you buy one,
it turns into five.
You start, because what happens is you get a Criterion Blu-ray, you watch it and you say, oh, this is good.
This is how movies right? are supposed
to be. This is a good movie. Yeah. Therefore, I can trust Criterion
to guide you. Right.
Exactly.
And then you buy The Man Who Fell to Earth.
The first time you have the sea, like the blue circle on the cover, and you look at it and you go, on some more of those, because you can't buy a Criterion movie and not wave film snob flag. There's no way, and you can't just have one. Oh, I only like this one movie that Criterion put up. You have to buy more.
Then you start buying movies like, you know, 400 Blows, yes. Double Life of Veronique, yep.
And The Man Who Fell to Earth,
Armageddon,
The Butcher Boy.
Actually, I would totally get a Criterion version of Armageddon.
Criterion has The Rock, though.
That is on
my list. Criterion has The Butcher Boy?
I think they do.
You must be fucking kidding me.
Yo.
You, if Criterion have that, I'm suing them.
The Butcher Boy, I'm telling you, that youngsters
you acting Criterion and Butcher Boy and get one result, I'm going to fight you. What I want them to do, though, is like give me an option to subscribe to them. Just like say, yo, pay us
$100 a year.
A year or something like that.
But how many films do they like release a year? Like, is it that much? Because I've seen months where they're like 8 movies they're bringing out.
Yeah, they put out a lot. So just give me the option to.
You know what? You know what? I really like from their website, they have this thing now where they go to filmmakers and people working in film and ask them about their 10 favorite criterions, or they'll have videos where, and I don't know if this store is real, where people will come into the Criterion store. It's like a physical place. It looks like someone's broom closet. And they'll just go in and go like, I want that, 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 and you'll just see what they pick up. And I don't know why, but I just find it interesting to see what kind of films they do, because you see things like Bill Hader talking about House, the Japanese film, which I still haven't seen but I want to watch, and stuff like that. But anyways, I think it's pretty much time that we just finish off this podcast. So yeah, watch Meek's Cut Off when you get a chance. It'll be on Blu-ray September 13th.
Do you guys realize I'm going to talk about this movie?
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can find all of my random thoughts on Twitter at gmanreviews.
What is he doing?
Does he have a job?
Wait, no, it's been more than a week. It's still not there, and there's not even an apology. Like, I'm sorry, you podcast. We have like 3 listeners, right? And instead of him being nice to them and put out, so like, guys, I'm sorry.
I put podcast, it on Twitter. Right? I put it on Twitter.
Fuck you and Twitter. Why? Why is it taking so long?
Because I'm lazy.
Jesus. So essentially, what happened is he pulled us off live duty.
Right.
So you can't listen to it at a specific point in time.
Right.
And then not only that, but he doesn't necessarily release the podcast
in nothing close to a timely manner. Right? It's essentially when there's times when it's been so long he has to put out 2 at a time. I'm like, wait, was this the movie reviewed last? This wasn't the movie reviewed last week. Cut me. Douglas, it won't get any better when he leaves here.
It'll just get worse.
Yeah. It's going to be a monthly podcast. The guys, I swear to you, we call them every week. I swear.
What's going to happen, right, is I'm going to get upset. And I'm going to start recording them. I'm going to actually start... I'm going to set up my own unofficial Tom...
your bootleg. Your bootleg Tom. To just put out the podcast. Tom raw and uncut.
Douglas, you can find at DJR, lost his name.
He's not scared of the beats.
Damien isn't on any social media, pretty much.
That's not true.
He pretends to use Google Plus, but you can never really get in contact with him like that.
If you send me a direct message at what's my
your email?
I'm a what?
Your Google Plus is your name, Damien White. Just search for Damien White. You'll find him.
Oh no, it's not like Google Plus slash Damien White.
Actually, you can get that. There's a website where you can get a
shortening. No, I'm sure Google one.
That's
I don't want
not
to go
Google.
Through.
That's like some other guy, and it's not Google.com. It's
bootleg.
Google.go slash. It's some ridiculous.
No, you bootleg ass. You name it.
Or is it goto.com? I remember I saw
I think it's like, goto.com. But anyways, thanks for listening and good night.
I was a young warthog.
Okay.
That was an elephant.
I hate Douglas. Spartas is over the second Andrew leaves.